And now from the 20th Psalm, the superscription in the NRSV entitles it "To the Leader." Some translations say "To the Music Leader." This was likely to be sung. And it says, "A Psalm of David." I won't be singing it. All right. "The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord will help his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with mighty victories by his right hand. Some take pride in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God. They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise and stand upright. Give victory to the King, O Lord. Answer us when we call." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we do invite your Holy Spirit to anoint this time together, that we would hear what is next. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Just about every Sunday since we started broadcasting, I know that my mama and my stepdad, Jim, that they join us online. And you've heard me mention my dear, sweet mother-in-law, Polly, and she is joining us online. And though she's Baptist, she will sandwich that Baptist service with the two Methodist services so that somewhere in all of that, the gospel is balanced out, I suppose. I'm very thankful to have my father-in-law here, Bob, and it is an honor to have Bob here, and he is a tremendous blessing to my family. And we shared that my mother-in-law moved to Gallatin, to NHC Gallatin, and is receiving care there, and we're praying for the folks. Also, Patsy Robeson is also there. Pray for Patsy. Bob will be traveling back and forth to North Carolina until the house is ready to sell. So just remember them in your prayers. And I thought, you know, I don't know that I should go on preaching without saying those things. That would be the right thing to do, is to recognize my family. Years ago, I was in college. I actually didn't watch it at first. And though my politics would be different than what are portrayed in the show, I loved The West Wing. Did you see that show years ago? I loved watching the politics of The West Wing, and not just particular policies, but how things worked together. And as a kid, I know that God's call was on my life to be a pastor, but that's not what I wanted. You know, I had dreams of being the governor. You know, that was what I wanted to be. And I'm not complaining. I like being a pastor. It's a lot more meaningful work, right? I'm reading right now a book by a former governor, Governor Bill Haslam. It came out in the last few weeks, and there's even a podcast. I got to see it the day it was live streamed. Through the Vanderbilt Divinity School has this faith and politics conversation that has started, and it has people across the political spectrum. So it's not just a progressive point of view or a conservative point of view. They're gathering folks together, and Governor Haslam's book is right on target with the emphasis of getting the conversation started again between people who are in political leadership. The name of his book is called "Faithful Presence: The Promise and Peril of Faith in the Public Square." It's a book filled with hope. I hope you'll pick it up and read it. It's a quick read. At the end of that book, in more of a spiritual kind of witnessing time that Governor Haslam shares, he quotes Saint Ignatius Loyola. The aim of life is not to gain a place in the sun, nor to achieve fame or success, but to lose ourselves in the glory of God. Maybe I should read it one more time. Okay. The aim of life is not to gain a place in the sun, nor to achieve fame or success, but to lose ourselves in the glory of God. I love that sense. When you think about the glory of God, you should be imagining this bright light presence of God, and that our aim as sons and daughters of God is to lose ourselves in God's light. Not to try to steal the light from Jesus, can't be done. Not to be the center of the show, it is Jesus. Not to be the source ourselves of the good in the world, but it is Jesus who is the source. It is to lose ourselves in the glory of God. It is not to become famous or to be successful. It is to be lost in the glory of God. This week was the annual conference sessions. It was the 54th session of the Tennessee Annual Conference. It was the last session of the Tennessee Annual Conference. We voted to unite with the Memphis Annual Conference, and there will be a uniting conference in sometime next year. And now, after that uniting conference, which also has to get approved by the jurisdiction, you know, Methodist, we've got our structures. And once that finalization of approvals through all of the general boards and agencies and all of such, it will become the Tennessee Western Kentucky Conference, the TWK. All right. And we have no shortage of acronyms, right? The TWK, the Tennessee Western Kentucky Annual Conference. For those who've been joining us online for worship, I got a foretaste of your experience. I dressed up on Thursday for annual conference. We had great representation from our church. Rick Orgain is the lay leader, lay delegate at annual conference. Kevin Lamb was an at-large representing the district, and we joined in my office for annual conference. Great Estrada was an at-large delegate, who, by the way, is the archivist of the conference. Did phenomenal work with history videos celebrating the history of the Tennessee Annual Conference. Great work done there. So I dressed up for annual conference on Thursday, and Kevin came in his shorts, and so, I felt overdressed for annual conference. So on Friday, knowing that, you know, if you work with the people that you're working with, so if Kevin's going to dress down for annual conference, I'd wear my shorts to annual conference and sat back on Friday and joined annual conference in my comfortable clothes. And I got a phone call in the middle that I had to go pick up, meet the delivery people for a table. They were super early. Wasn't supposed to. So I grabbed annual conference on my iPad and stuck it in my car. And I drove home, listening, participating in annual conference at the end. I wasn't watching it. Just sitting over in the passenger side. You know, for those who've been joining online, who can do it in your pajamas or take church with you. You know, I got a foretaste of that. It's a little tempting, isn't it? Not to come back when you can kind of do that. But we need you back. We do need you back. I want to tell you that after watching annual conference, and most of it I was watching, I tried to participate, and I did vote when I was supposed to vote. The great celebrations of the conference, we recognize the work of racial reconciliation in the church, that we've not always had it right in our annual conference when it comes to race relations and the division between African-American denominations of Methodist and Caucasian churches. We also recognize those who've been credentialed for ministry. We recognize the witness of the annual conference. But there was still a strong undertone to conference that we didn't mention, which is the seriousness of the divisions of the United Methodist Church. We really didn't linger very long on those conversations. Psalm 20 is the lectionary psalm for today. And I will tell you that I haven't spent a lot of time in my life reading the 20th Psalm. Depending on which reader you would read about the commentary on the 20th Psalm, you would read that this was a psalm that would celebrate the new year, or it would be the psalm that would celebrate the work of a king before going to battle. Today, we are not going to battle, church. But just as one would gear up for conflict in the future, we as a church have significant challenges to overcome in the future. It's not war, but rather it is to be faithful to God, to lose ourselves in the glory of God. Today is an important day for me and my family. This marks the beginning of our sixth year at Gallatin First United Methodist Church. Thank you. At the end of every annual conference in person, they would hand out printed appointments. They didn't want you to read them during the last worship service, so they held them out in the lobby. And you were supposed to be there to get it. You couldn't get a copy for you and your buddy. You know, you actually had to be present to physically get it. Now it's posted online at the end of conference. And I always go to look to find my name and, you know, to make sure that I'm not confused about where I'm going. By the way, there was a time not that long ago, pastors would wait to the end of conference and they would have to listen for where they and their family would be moving to. It wasn't that long ago that at the end of conference they would learn where they're going. Those who remember annual conference at Inglewood United Methodist Church or Inglewood Methodist Church would know the light post out front that the preachers would gather around to listen for their name and where they were going. Bishop Morris, whom you all loved, and I'm reminiscing a little bit, but he liked to read those every year. He didn't just say the appointments are set. He read them out loud one by one because it takes a lot of work to make those appointments, to make the fits between pastors and churches. Not just the pastor that the church wants, but who's the pastor who has the graces and gifts to lead a congregation community that needs those gifts and graces at that particular time. It's a tremendous work. Psalm 20 is a psalm not only recognizing the leader, but it's also recognizing God and the sense of memory. And this morning in our prayer time before worship, I said I had a very quick 7-point sermon to share with you this morning. I heard someone laugh. Okay, that's good. Ted was laughing up here. These are 7 words that start with P. It's really not a 7-point sermon. I was thinking about the payroll protection plan, and really, the 20th Psalm is about the people protection plan with God. In verse 1, we hear, "The Lord answer you in the day of your trouble or peril." That word peril, I'm borrowing from Governor Haslam's book. There is trouble in the politics of our nation. There's trouble in the politics of the church, in the politics of our communities. But it's not just in the politics. There's peril as we are trying to discern together what is the Word of God, how does it shape how we live our lives, and how do we, with truth and love, live out this faith together. There is peril for us. And then we hear that may he, talking of God, send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. In reference to a king, it was recognizing that the king's power was radiating from the temple, from the sanctuary. As you think about the community of Gallatin and all the churches that are represented in Gallatin, Tennessee, I participated in the United Ministerial Alliance meeting yesterday, and We have a lot of work to do to build stronger relationships between the churches of Gallatin. I, along with some of our leaders, are participating in conversations around race and relations in Gallatin. But in a larger conversation of pastors, what is the calling to the children of God in Gallatin, Tennessee? What is that calling? What does it look like? And where does our help come? When you get in trouble in life, do you picture this place as the source of your help? from the sanctuary that God will send your help? I'm going to identify in the people protection plan that I want to identify today one of the most significant challenges for our church is that we would belong to a life group or a Sunday school group in this church. That is the number one peril to the sustainability of Gallatin First United Methodist Church, is that we would find ourselves in meaningful relationship with a small group of people to get through life. That when we would read in the 20th Psalm the strength of God radiating from the temple, there is a connection that that was the place where God's blessings was flowing. Church, we need to get connected together more so now than ever before. And we've had every obstacle in place before COVID-19, and it has magnified the separation and the tendency to be comfortable in isolation. We must get connected together and recognize that not only are we to be here for worship and participate, but that the participation is extended not just on Sunday morning, but being connected to a group of people that you can tell the truth to and listen to the truth being spoken. I know that in my life, I'm thankful for Carol. She's the person who I trust first and foremost to tell me things I don't want to hear. Like, you know, are you sure that you want to eat that piece of cake? Are you sure? I need to hear that. I really do. Now, reading verse 3 and 4, we may not recognize it in the same way today, but we read, "May he remember all of your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices." Now, we're not in a sacrificial system anymore in the way our relationship works with God, but that was an act of praise when you brought your offering and your burnt sacrifices. 6 years ago, in meeting in the life groups of the church, in every single life group, I heard at least one person, often a majority of people, said, "Why did you come to Gallatin First?" If they didn't say they were born here, then they would say, "You know, the music of the church brought me here." Now, we have incredible music, and that's one of the reasons why we have a music camp, is in a community filled with vacation Bible schools, we are leaning into our strength to give a music experience for kids this week. Be in prayer for it, and it's real. But because there's great music here doesn't mean that you are worshiping when you're sitting in the pew and the great music is happening. Just as dangerous as it is to be isolated at home, it is also equally dangerous to be in the sanctuary and to be a passive participant of music happening in the room. You can have great organ music, you can have great praise band playing, and you could even from time to time hear some great preaching, and you can sit there and just take it all in, but if you're not participating in that, if you don't have Jesus as the focus of why you are here, you're missing the point, you're missing the protection, you are missing the theme of this experience, which is to participate in the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. We recently moved to an apartment temporarily as we figure out how we're going to find a home large enough for our entire family. It's growing, and that's great. That's great. Well, as a part of that, the Johnsons, we don't pay for TV. We're on the antenna plan. Do you have that plan? It's a great plan, the antenna plan. And we're getting all these shows, and we're even using our iPhones to hotspot so we get the free LG channels. And one of the channels at night, which doesn't last forever, I ran out of my hotspot bandwidth or something, and so I have to wait till next month, Mama, till we watch this show again. But we were watching America's Test Kitchen. Have you seen that show? It's a great show. They're showing all these products on television about this is the best way to make a pizza, and these are the best tools to make a pizza, or this, and you see all this happening on TV, and they bring out the freshest ingredients, they're doing all of this, and you're sitting there, and you almost think, I could really taste that. And it doesn't matter how many times I watch that the things they make on television, until I put myself to work with the real ingredients, I can watch it every day on television and never have the real thing. And that is a dangerous place for us as the church, as we look at something like that for us in this day and age, and that we're seeing something fantastic on our screens, maybe even in person. But until we take what we're learning, until we put ourselves in the place to give God praise and offer God who we are, we're really not there yet. Verse 4 and 5 are some of the most dangerous of this psalm, which it says, "May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans." This week, Ted offered in our staff devotion a great reflection on this psalm and how many of us are thankful that God has not given us the plans and desires of our hearts when they have not aligned with the will of God. How many of us are thankful for unanswered prayers that didn't go right, right? Hallelujah to that. And I want to tell you, though, that God does answer prayers. And having Bob here and Polly and Gallatin, those are answers to prayers that we have never really been able to imagine what that would look like. And there, time after time in our lives, we see God answering prayers and seeing you here and knowing that we can be the church that God is working to answer prayers, that God sees the plans that are on our hearts, and that not only is God moving in our future, but that we carry with us the story of where God has been in the past. Governor Haslam's book, in about the second chapter, he recounts his experience of going into a room to speak to a gathering of the Tennessee National Guard. And when he walked in the room, all of the different divisions of the Tennessee National Guard, they were in their uniforms, sitting by their groups. And at the end of every aisle were these banners that represented all the conflicts that they had served in. And then the commander-in-chief of the Tennessee National Guard was introduced, and the guard band began to play, and someone had to elbow Governor Haslam and said, "They just introduced you." He was lost in that moment and didn't realize that was his time to go to the front. I want you to think about all the different places that God has brought us through. We have been through some of the worst parts of COVID-19. There were days when I was on the phone with the hospital thinking about what it would take to turn our church into an outreach of the hospital as an alternative care facility, turning Ramsey Hall and the gym into a place that would have hospital beds and would be an extension of care of hospital rooms at the hospital. We were not far from having to do that in Gallatin, Tennessee. And I remember the phone calls that I got once it was shared that that was happening, about people angry that I had said yes to that, which that was the right call to make. And I feel convinced that that was the right call to make. Dangerous times for us as a church. And not just those times, but you think about all of the different places that God has brought us through and the different generations whose names are encapsulated in our windows, even the stories of the Civil War and the 1930s, the 40s, all kinds of racial tensions in Gallatin that the people of this church have been able to survive and to be faithful to God. We are still here, and it's not by our own plans, but it is because it is God's plan for us to be here, to be a witness to the people across the street at City Hall, to the fire station and the city police and to the sheriff's department. And when Jesus talked about visiting the jail, God has placed Gallatin first right across the street from the jail of Sumner County. These are God's plans for the kingdom of God, for the people here. And that verse 6 reminds us, "Now I know the Lord will help his anointed." God has made a plan to help, to promise to help the anointed. He will answer from heaven and have mighty victories with his right hand. In every place that you're praying to see God, there is victory not by our own intellect or the plans that we devise, but it is through God. and that we shouldn't take pride in ourselves when we get it right. It will be awful easy to share self-congratulations on Thursday when we get through music camp or when we finished annual conference and someone said, did you make it through conference? And I said, and are we yet alive? You know, that hymn that we sing at the beginning of conference, reminiscent when preachers didn't always live to see the next conference year. There are these moments that we could fall into self-pride. How great the music is. How beautiful this church is. And it is beautiful. Music is great. Most important thing is that we recognize it is Jesus. It is Jesus. Some translations entitle the whole 20th Psalm as a prayer. But the only prayer is in verse 9. Give victory to the King, O Lord. Answer us when we call. That's the prayer. Do you know what your prayer is today? Chaplain Hill from yesterday's funeral service for John Paul Black Sr. She shared this wonderful story as a chaplain that she would go into places and folk would ask her, I don't know how to pray. And she would respond by saying, oh, yes, you do. Your entire life has been a prayer. That's a great way to think about prayer. How are you living your life as a prayer to God today? And those seven P's, if you want to write them down really quickly, you'll have to rewind on the YouTube channel to get them. But that God is answering our prayers through peril, petitions, praise, plans, promise, pride, and prayer. That may we live our life as a prayer today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.